Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Brachim, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Shabbos Daf Tes, right on top of the Amud, says the Gemara. Acherim oimrim, askupa mishamesa shtei reshuitz. Now the Gemara here is concluding the Braisa, which we began learning on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, the Braisa which told us about the four reshuitz, the Shabbos, and the Braisa concluded with several halachas in the name of Acherim. Now we know that Acherim is referring to Rabbi Meir. The Gemara here will elaborate and explain these halachas. Acherim oimrim, askupa mishameshes shtei reshuyis. An askupa, which is an entranceway, a threshold. It can serve a dual purpose. It can be considered as a part of two different types of domains, depending on the circumstance. Bezman shapesach pasuach kelefnim, when the doorway is open, the doorway that is in between the threshold to the interior. So when that doorway is open, kilafnim, then the askupa has a din like the interior, and one may carry in this threshold. Why? Because when the door is open, then the askupa is connected, it's adjacent to the interior, it's a part of the pnim, it's an extension of the pnim, and has the heter, tiltal of the pnim. But if the Pesach is null, if the doorway is closed, the doorway separating between the threshold and the interior, it is closed off. In that case, it shuts out the askupa. It chases it out. It separates. It makes a hefsik between the pnim and the askupa. In that case, the halacha of the askupa is kelachutz. One may not carry in the askupa. It is not considered to be connected to the pnim, and there's an iser tiltal there. So what type of askupa are we speaking about? A threshold of a home, of a chatzer? Says Rashi, we're actually speaking about an askupa of a mavi. What is a mavi? A mavi is an alleyway, an approach to the Rishus HaRabim. It is in between the chatzeris, the courtyards, and the Rishus HaRabim. The inhabitants of the chatzeris would walk through, they would use it as an alleyway, as an approach to the Rishus HaRabim. And it was a three-walled area. So being that it was enclosed on all three sides, it was a dead-end alleyway. So being that it's enclosed, surrounded by three sides, minat Torah, biblically it's considered as though it's a Rishus HaYachid, and one may certainly carry in this mavi, in this alleyway. However, they prohibited, they asked carrying in the mavi, because since it is wide open to Rishus HaRabim, it is adjacent, it connects to Rishus HaRabim, perhaps there's room for concern that one may think that this also is part of Rishus HaRabim, and just as we can carry in this mavi, one may carry in the Rishus HaRabim as well. Therefore, the Chachamim prohibited carrying in the mavi unless a hechsher was done, an adjustment was performed. Now, they gave us two options, two choices for hechsher of a mavi. One is a lechi, by erecting a side post at the entranceway, along the side of the entranceway of the mavi. By doing so, we made a separation between the mavi and Rishus HaRabim, and we called attention to its separateness, and by doing so we removed the concern that perhaps one might confuse the mavi as being part of Rishus HaRabim, and therefore once we have a lechi we can carry in the mavi. There's another explanation for the lechi, that it serves as a mechitza. It serves as though it's actually creating a partition. The corner, the edge of the lechi, the side post, is as though it's continuing all across the entranceway of the mavi. We view it as though it's a partition, a full mechitza, and thus leaving the mavi surrounded and enclosed on all four sides. And certainly you can carry in this mavi as a result of this full enclosure. So this is the din of lechi, a side post erected at the entranceway, at the pesach of the mavi, which is machshir, and matir, tiltal, carrying in the mavi. There's another option called a kaira, a cross beam, which would be erected across the entranceway of the mavi from side to side. And that too serves as a hechsher mavi, as an adjustment, as a heter for the mavi. It serves as a hefsik, whether it's because it's creating a hecker, a recognition, it's calling attention to the separateness of the mavi from Rishus HaRabim, or because it serves as a mechitza as well. The corner of the mavi, the edge, the sharp edge of the kaira, is as though it's descending downward as well and enclosing the entranceway. and being seisin the entrance when closing, surrounding the mavoi on all four sides, being that it has already the three walls plus the kaira, it's as though it has four mechitzas and is considered to be separate from shesaravim and a place on its own and the mutter betiltel. So we have two approaches, two options, two choices of being machsher, adjusting the mavoi to be matir tiltel the mavoi. The Gemara at this point is holding that we're speaking about an askupa of a mavoi, and this entranceway of the mavoi contains a lechi. A lechi was erected as a hechsher for this mavoi, and the Braisa tells us, Achirim tell us, that certainly in the mavoi, one may carry as a result of the hechsher of the lechi. What about alongside the lechi itself? What about in the askupa, in the entranceway, on the threshold of the mavi, which contains this lechi? Is there a heter tiltel alongside the width of the lechi as well? Says the Braisa, well, it depends. If the doorway to the mavi is open, the doorway between the lechi and the mavi is opened up wide, in that case, there's a heter to be metaltel alongside the lechi as well on the area of the askupa, which is alongside the width of the lechi. If the doorway is closed, in that case, one may not carry alongside the lechi, meaning there's no heter tiltel on the askupa itself. Because if the door is open, then the lechi is adjacent to the mavi, it is being machshir the mavi, being matir the mavi, it's being activated to provide heter and hechsher, and therefore it is matir not only the mavi, but also the area alongside the lechi itself. However, if the door is closed, it's shutting out the lechi is not functioning anymore as a hechsher mavi, it's not part of the mavi, therefore there's no heter tiltel alongside the lechi. Says the Gemara again, Acherim oyrim askupa mishamesh shtei rishuyos. The askupa, the threshold, can serve a dual purpose. It can serve a dual function. It can be considered to be part of this rishus or part of the other rishus, depending on the circumstance. Bezman shapesach pasuach lefnim. When the door is open, then the askupa has a status of lefnim, and there's a heter to be metaltel. Pesach no, but if the door is closed, in that case kalachutz, the askupa is as though it's outside, and there's no heter tiltel in the askupa. Once again, Rashi explains we're speaking about the askupa, the threshold, the entranceway of a mavoi, which contains a lechi at its entrance, and the lechi is matir, carrying within the mavoi. However, alongside the lechi itself, alongside the width of the lechi itself, can one carry there as well? Can one carry on the threshold, which is alongside the roich of the width of the lechi? That depends whether the door is open or closed. If the door is open, then yes, he can carry there. If the door is closed, in that case, the lechi is disconnected from the mavi, it's deactivated, not providing any heter, any hechsher, and there's no heter tilta alongside the lechi. Says the Gemara, v'afa gav de lesle lechi? Do you mean to suggest that one may carry alongside the lechi post, even though there's no separate heter for that area? Meaning as follows. Rashi explains that the Gemara here is working with a premise that the lechi of a kair, of a mavi, could only be matir, can only affect heter from the inner corner inward. Meaning we could only carry in the mavi up until the interior corner of the lechi, but not alongside the width of the lechi itself. Rashi explains that the heker of the lechi, or the mechitza of the lechi, only functions from its inner corner, from its interior corner inward, but not past the corner outward. This is what we explained in the Gemara in Erevin, but we're working with this premise now. If this is the case, says the Gemara, how can you suggest that if the Pesach is Pesuach, the door is open to the Mavoi, in which the lechi is functioning as a hechsher for the Mavoi, therefore, the result will be, not only can he carry in the mavi itself, but he can carry alongside the lechi as well, on the askupa, which is alongside the width of the lechi, which is past its interior corner. But that's not the case. Alongside the lechi, there's no heter. Says the Gemara again, va'afgav de lesle lechi, even though we're only using one lechi, and thereby you are allowing the askupa, which is alongside the width of the lechi, even though it doesn't have its own lechi, it's an additional lechi on the outside of it, the skupa, but that's not the case. A lechi is only matir from its interior corner inward. Therefore, in order to be mati the skupa, you need another lechi in addition to the first lechi. You need to place another lechi on the outside of the skupa to be matir the skupa, which lies within its interior corner. V'amar Rav Chama bar Guvya Marav, toicha pesach, during in the actual area of the entranceway of the skupa, sorach lechi acher latir. This requires an additional lechi, because we're working with the premise that a lechi can only be matir from its interior corner inward, but not alongside the width of the lechi. So once again, if we have a mavoi with a lechi positioned at the end, the lechi is only matir from the interior corner inward, but not alongside the actual lechi. And therefore, how can you suggest that if the doorway to the mavoi is open, which connects the lechi to the mavoi and activates the head of the mavoi, by doing so you allow one to carry even alongside the width of this lechi on the askupa, which is alongside the roich of the lechi? But that's not the case, because the lechi cannot function, cannot activate, cannot affect heter alongside its width. It only affects heter from its interior corner inward into the mavi, but not alongside its width. And therefore, certainly on the askupa, there's no heter of the lechi, unless you make an additional lechi on the outside of the askupa. Placing another lechi on the outside of the askupa would certainly allow carrying within the askupa, which is within the interior corner of that additional lechi. So this first interpretation is not really going to work. Says the Gemara, perhaps v'chitema, the less bedal dadal, the askupa is not four tefachim wide, and in that case, it's not a significant area, it's not a significant floor space, and it doesn't require its own heter, it's included in the heter of the mavoi. In that case, certainly, the heter of the mavi extends over to the askupa, which is alongside the lechi, because it's a small area and it's batal. It's considered to be an extension of the mavi. In that case, as long as the door, as the pesach is pesuach, as long as the door to the mavi is open and the askupa is connected, is an extension of the mavi, there will be a heter to carry in the askupa alongside the lechi. Is that the case? But we know that's not the case. It says the Gemara b'chitem with less bedal adult. If it's a small, insignificant area, it's not considered to be its distinct area, and therefore is included in the heter of the lechi, of the mavoi. But that's not the case. V'amar Rav Chama bar Guvya Marav. In any case, no matter how large the askupa is, no matter how large the floor space of the Pesach is, it will never be included in the heter. Toicha Pesach, the area of the entranceway, afal bi she'ein bo dalet al dalet. Even if it doesn't contain a floor space of 4x4, it's a very small, insignificant area. Nevertheless, it is not included in the heter of the lechi. And sorich lechi acher latir, it requires another lechi, which will be placed on the outside of this doorway to be matir, the doorway which is within the lechi. But that's the case. So once again, we have difficulty explaining the halacha of acherim. We wanted to say that acherim are telling us that a mavi, an alleyway which has a lechi posted at the end of the mavi, who we mati the askupa as well, not only we mati the mavi, but also the entranceway, the askupa, the threshold which is running alongside the width of the lechi. But that's not the case, because the lechi is only matir from the interior point, from the interior corner inward. We can only be matata in the mavi up until the lechi, but alongside the lechi, there is no heter of lechi. Because as Rashi explains, the heker of the lechi, the calling attention of the lechi, the mechitza of the lechi will only affect the area from within it, from within the interior corner inward, but not alongside the lechi itself. And even the Gemara says, even if the Pesach is very narrow, it is not four tefachim wide, it's insignificant, it is not a distinct area on its own, even in that case, the lechi will not be matir tiltil within the Pesach. If so, we have to look for another pshat in the Brice. Omar Yehuda Marav, Hocha b'skupas mavi askinan. Indeed, we're speaking about a mavoi, a long alleyway, which has a threshold, an entranceway at the entrance of the mavoi. However, instead of erecting a lechi, it's speaking about a case where the mavi opted to use a kaira, a crossbeam, which was lying across the entranceway of the mavoi. And that provided the hechsher for the mavi, the heter tilta within the mavi. Hocha b'skubas mavi askinan. And we're speaking about, instead of a lechi, we're speaking about that they placed a kaira. Now, what Koyer Rashi explains was generally very narrow. It was generally one tefach wide. That was the minimum requirement for a Koyer. So now the doorway, the entranceway, the eskupa, which is wider than four tefachim, and contains a Koyer placed from side to side alongside the Pesach, from one side to the other across the entranceway of the Mavi. It thus leaves the entranceway, the skupa, half roofed and half unroofed. It is chetzi mekura, but chetzi ein mekura. Partially, it is covered by the koira, which is extending across the entranceway, and covers the interior part of the skupa, the part of the skupa which is facing the mavi. But the other part of the skupa, which is facing the street, facing outward, is unroofed. Again, says the Gemara, Amorvidam Rav Hachabi, Skuvas Movi Askinon, Chetchi Mekura, half of it is roofed, is covered by this Koira, which is, say, one tefach wide, Vechetchi Shen Mekura, but half of the Skupa is unroofed, is uncovered. Vikiruyoi Klapipnim, and the Koira, the roofed part, is facing inward. In this case, the Koira, Rashi explains, provides Heter not only for the Movi itself, for the Movi which is within the Koira, but it also provides heter for the area directly underneath the Koira. This was explained in the Gemara in Erevin. What's the difference between a lech and a Koira? But a Koira has the halacha that is matir, the area directly underneath it as well. In this case, says the Gemara, if the Pesach, the door between the Eskupa, which contains the Koira above it, if the Pesach between the Eskupa and the Mavi is open, thus the Eskupa is adjacent, is connected, fully connected to the Mavi. In this case, the Koira is providing Hechsher. It is activated. It is functioning as a Koira. And just as it is Matir, the Mavi provides whatever the Mavi needs, it also provides Hechsher for the area underneath the Koira as well. For instance, according to the Shita, that the Koira provides a Mechitza. So we will view the Koira as though it is descending downward and enclosing the area not only of the Mavi behind it, but also of the actual area underneath the Koira. Therefore, one would be able to carry and be metalta underneath the Koira. However, if the doorway between the Koira and the Mavi is closed, in that case, the Koira is shut out from the Mavi. It is not acting, it's not serving, not functioning as a Koira for this Mavi. It is separated from the Mavi by the doorway, which is closed. In this case, the Koira is deactivated. The Koira can't serve its function, and it won't provide Hechsher or Heter, and won't have a din of a Mechitza, not only for the Mavi, which in this case doesn't need the Koira because it's completely closed off, but it won't provide the din of Koira for the Mavi, and certainly not for the area underneath it as well. Why? Explains Rashi. Because, number one, it's not serving as a Koira for the Mavi. Number two, even if you'll ask, why can't the Koira serve as an independent Mechitza? We know there's a halacha from Sinai called Pitikra Yored V'Soysim. Whenever we have a ceiling which has a sharp point, a sharp edge in front of it, so when we face this sharp edge, we view it as though the edge actually extending downward provides some sort of Tzuras HaPesach, like a doorpost, like a doorway, and we look at it as though it's descending downward and closing up the opening as considered as though it's a Mechitza. Says Rashi, fine. So this Koira, which is suspended above the doorway of the Mavi, was detached, was shut out from the Mavi on account of the fact that the door was closed behind it, the door between the Koira and the Mavi was shut, and shut out the Koira from the Mavi. So we have an independent Koira suspended above an Eskupa on its own. Why isn't that sufficient to provide Mechitza? Why can't we simply say that the Pitikra, the corner of the Koira is Yerid V'Soysim, descends and closes off at least the area underneath the Koira, and that makes a full-fledged Mechitza, and encloses this area underneath the Koira, and one should be able to carry underneath the Koira. Says Rashi, but we need to know another halacha. That part of the halacha of Moshe Messina is that any Mechitza, any din of Mechitza, is only if it provides enclosure to a significant area of at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Less than that, there can be no Mechitza. Therefore, says Rashi, underneath the Koira is a very narrow area. It's only an area which is wide one tefach, as we said earlier. Therefore, we cannot create a Mechitza for such a small area. Even if we say, Pitikra Yorid V'Soysim, the P, the mouth, the corner of the Tikra, of the Koira, will descend and go down and close off the area underneath the Korah, but it's too small an area, too insignificant to have the Din Mechitza apply to it. It does not have a Din Mechitza unless it's enclosing a significant area of 4x4 Tfachim. Therefore, says Rashi, when the Pesach is null, when the doorway between the Mavoi and the Korah is closed, and thereby shutting out the Korah from the Mavoi, in this case, the Korah is not functioning as a Korah. It can't function as a Korah for the Mavoi because it's separated by the doorway which is closed, and it can't either create its own Mechitza by applying the Klal of Tipitikuriyat Vesaisim to enclose the area underneath the Korah because it's too narrow an area. And in that case, the halacha will be that this whole area of the Askupa has a Din Kelachutz, and one may not carry on the Askupa. Let's see the words again. Omar Vida Marav. This is the third approach, third interpretation of the halacha of Achir. Hocha b'yiskupa asmo b'yaskina. We're speaking about a entranceway, a threshold of a Mavi. However, instead of it containing a Lechi, it actually contains a Kaira, which is suspended above this entranceway from side to side. Chetzi mekura v'chetzi shein mekura, leaving the askupa half roofed and half unroofed because the Kaira is narrow and the askupa is wide. So when the wider askupa contains a Kaira lying across it, it will end up being that half the askupa is covered and half is uncovered. And the Kaira, the roofed part, is facing the Mavoi, and the uncovered area is facing outward. If so, it depends, what is the halacha of this askupa? It depends if or not the doorway is open or closed. Pesach pasuach lefnim. If the door in between the askupa and the Mavoi is open, thus the Kaira is functioning as a Kaira for the Mavoi. It's providing a Heksher for the Mavoi. It's providing a Mechitza or Heker for the Mavoi. In that case, the Kaira is activated and it will provide Heter for the area directly underneath this Kaira as well. In that case, one may carry in this part of the Askupa that is underneath the Kaira. However, Pesach, no! If the door in between the Kaira and the Mavoi is closed off, and thereby shutting out the Kaira from the Mavoi, disconnecting the Kaira from the Mavoi, deactivating the Kaira, in that case, the Kaira is not serving anymore as a Heksher. Kilachutz. So the space underneath the Kaira has a din of outside, has a din similar to Rishus HaRabim, and one may not carry underneath the Kaira, because the Kaira is not functioning, it's not serving anymore. And as Rashi explains, we can either apply the halacha of pi tikra yorid v'soisim, where the corner of the tikra, of the roof, of the Kaira, descends and shuts down and encloses the area underneath it, because it's too small an area to apply that concept. It's just an area which is one tefach wide, and we require a minimum of a floor space of 4x4 in order to apply any dinim of partitions and mechitzas and enclosures. Says Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi has another approach to this halacha of Achir. What is the scenario? It is as follows. La'olam biskupas bayis askina. We're speaking about a threshold, an entranceway to a bayis, not a chatzar, not a mavi, but rather an ordinary home. And we're speaking about the askupa, the threshold, is actually roofed, but it's not roofed with one board. It actually has two beams running across. So we have the bayis, we have the askupa in front of the bayis, and we have one beam running across, we have another beam running across the askupa. And there's a small gap in between the beams, which is actually less than 3 tefachim. So generally we would apply the halacha of lavud. Any gap which is less than 3 tefachim is considered to be sasam, considered to be closed off. We view both beams as though they're extending to each other and they're providing one singular roofing above this askupa. However, says the Gemara, we're speaking about that each beam is narrow, doesn't have a width of 4 tefachim. So we have, for instance, a beam of 2 tefachim lying next to another beam which is also wide 2 tefachim, and we have a small gap of 2 tefachim between the beams. And they were covering the skupa, the threshold, in this manner. So let's see the Gemara inside. Rav Ashi Omar, lo'ilam biskupas bayis askina. We're speaking about a threshold in front of a home. Ukegon shekira b'shtei koirois. This askupa is covered, is roofed, with two beams running across it. She'en buzu arba, ve'en buzu arba. Each one of these beams is less than 4 tefachim wide. Ve'en beizu lezu shloisha. And the gap in between both beams is less than 3 tefachim. However, videles ba'emtza. The problem is there's a door in between both beams. In this case, the door can be mafsik, can provide a hefsik, can interrupt the beams, and perhaps disallow the connection. As the Gemara explains, delas ba'emtza, there's a door in between both beams. So we have a home, we have a skupa, we have two beams running across the skupa. Each beam is less than 4 tefachim wide. There's a small gap in between. Now there's a door running between both beams, underneath both beams. Not actually between them, but underneath them. So in this case, if the door is open, we can view both beams as though they're connected. We apply the concept of lavud, and we view them as one large roof. In that case, they certainly would provide protection, adequate protection to the area underneath it. They have a din of a tikra, of a ceiling, and we apply the klal of pitikra. And we view the front, the corner of the tikra, as though it descends and closes off and encloses the area, the entire area of the skupa, which is situated underneath these two kairos. However, if the pesach, which is underneath between these two kairos, if it is closed, in that case, it is separating the skupa into two. It is dividing, it is splitting into two, and thus leaving each kaira with only a small area to cover. It's only covering an area of two tefachim. In that case, as we mentioned earlier, a mechitza cannot be activated. The halacha of mechitza, partition, is only when it is accomplishing a mechitza for an area which is 4x4 tefachim. When the pesach is null, it is dividing the askupa, dividing the kairos into two. In this case, the kairos cannot provide mechitza for the area underneath it, and the askupa will have a din kalachutz, will have a din like shisaram, and one might not carry in the askupa area which is open to shisaram. Once again, says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omer lo'ilam b'skupas bayis askinam, chigon shakir b'shtei kairos, shein b'zuar ba, vein b'zuar ba. So that we have two beams running across, each one is less than 4 tefachim wide. In between them, there is a small gap of less than 3 tefachim, where ordinarily the concept of lavud would apply to close up the gap, to connect these two sections of the roof. However, there's a door in between. If so, it depends on the position of the door. Pesach, pasuach, kilafnim, if the door is open, and it's not interrupting, and not being mafsik between the kairos, in the middle of the askupa, in that case, kilafnim, the askupa is fully roofed. It is roofed with a roof, 4 tefachim wide, and we apply the halacha of pitikrei v'soisim, and we view as though the area of the skupa is completely enclosed. Pesach nol, however, if the door is closed off, thereby cutting off, dividing the askupa into two, and each kair is only covering a small section of the askupa, in this case, kilachutz, the askupa, the outer part of the askupa, which is facing shisarabim, has a din kilachutz, has a din like shisarabim, and it is not considered to be contained and enclosed by the mechitza of the tikra. So in summary, regarding the halacha of askupa, the Braisa tells us in the name of Achir, that a skupa can be either considered kilafnim or kilachutz. It depends. If the pesach is pasuach, if the door is open, then the skupa is kilafnim, and one may carry there. If the pesach is null, if the door is closed, then the skupa is shut out, and it has the din kilachutz, and one may not carry in the skupa. We have four approaches to this halacha. Number one, the Gemara suggests that we're speaking about a skupa of a mavi, a threshold of a mavi, which is an alleyway surrounded by three sides. The fourth side is open to Shisarabim. And a lechi was erected, a doorpost was erected at the entranceway of the Mavi. And therefore, the Mavi is mutter betiltel, one may carry inside the Mavi, on account of the lechi providing a separation between the Mavi and Shisarabim. However, what about the area alongside the lechi? What about the askuba itself, the entranceway itself? That depends. If the door between the lechi and the mavi is open, in that case, the askupa is part of the mavi. The lechi is not only matir the mavi, but it's also matir the askupa, and one may carry in the askupa. If the door is closed, thereby shutting out the lechi from the mavoi, one may not carry alongside the lechi, and the askupa is kelechutz. The Gemara says, how can you say that? Doesn't the area, the width alongside the lechi, require another heter on its own? The lechi is only matir from the point, the interior corner inward, but not alongside the lechi itself. So how can you suggest that there's a heter tilta alongside the lechi? The Gemara proceeded and said, well, perhaps we're speaking about that the area alongside the lechi does not have 4x4 tefachim, it's insignificant of an area, and therefore one certainly has a heter to carry alongside the lechi. Says the Gemara, but that's not so. We learned that even if it's a small, insignificant area, there's no heter to carry alongside the lechi. The Gemara proceeded and said that perhaps we're speaking about an entirely different case. We're speaking about a mavi that has a hechshav but not lechi, rather has a hechshav a kaira, a crossbeam, which is lying across the entranceway of the mavi, and the kaira is very narrow. It does not cover an area of 4 tefachim. It's merely a tefach wide. In this case, said the Gemara, the kaira is matir, the mavi, and the kaira is matir, the area which is directly underneath it as well. But that depends. Depends if the door in between this kaira and the mavi is open or closed. If the doorway is open, in that case, the kaira is providing heter to the mavi and heter for the area underneath the kaira as well. But if the door is closed, door separating between the askupa and the mavi is closed, in that case, the kaira is shut out from the mavi. It's deactivated. It's not serving to be matir the mavi, and certainly it can't be matir the area underneath the kaira as well. Rashi explains, since the kaira is only one tefach wide, it can't serve as a mechitza with the klal of pi tikro yoyed v'saisim. We can't view it as though it's descending and closing off the area underneath it, because for that we require a floor space of 4x4 tefachim. Since this kaira is only one tefach wide, all the halachas of mechitzas will not be applied in this case. Rav Ashi had another interpretation to the halacha of achirim. Rav Ashi says we're speaking about an askupa of a bayis. We're not speaking about an approach to Rishus Rabim. We're not speaking about an alleyway. We're speaking about an askupa of a bayis, where the askupa has a double roof. It has two kairos, two beams running along it. Each beam is less than 4 tefachim wide, but in between them, there's only a small gap of less than 3 tefachim. Ordinarily, the klal, the halacha, the rule of lavad will be applied to connect both beams as one to provide coverage for the area underneath them. But the Braisa tells us, although ordinarily that would be fine in the case when there is a pesach in between them, separating the area into two. In that case, it depends if the pesach is pasuach or no. If the pesach is open, thereby allowing us to connect both kairos as one, they'll both be covering a great area of a skupa which has 4 tefachim. In that case, the kairos are providing coverage, providing mechitza. We say pi tikra yoyed v'saisim. The tikra, the roof, is as though it descends and provides coverage and enclosure to this area underneath the kaira, because it's large enough to have the rules and the concept of mechitza applied to it. But if the pesach, which is situated in between these two kairos, is closed off, it divides the skupa into two, thus leaving each kaira with only a small area of coverage, which is less than 4 tefachim, the concept of mechitzas can't be applied in this case. And therefore, we can't say that the kaira provides coverage and mechitza to the area underneath it, and the area underneath it will have a din kelechutz, and one may not carry underneath that kaira. Now, Tosis points out that whenever we discuss the askupa, and we say askupa is kelechutz, the term kelechutz, which is referring to Rishus HaRabim, doesn't mean to say that the askupa is literally like Rishus HaRabim. It certainly isn't. An askupa is an area which is enclosed, which is surrounded by three mechitzas, which mean HaTorah. Biblically, it certainly is considered to be a full-fledged Rishus HaYochid. There's only an Issur Midrabanan to carry in an exposed askupa. Nevertheless, as Tosfos says, the Gemara uses the Lashon, the term Kelechutz. It's merely a comparison. We use it in reference to the Isser Tiltel, that in a certain regard, the askupa is compared to Rishus HaRabim Kelechutz with reference to the Isser Tiltel. Just as in Rishus HaRabim we're not allowed to carry, so too in the askupa we're not allowed to carry. However, it's only certainly an Isser Drabon. Continues the Gemara, What was the final halacha of Achirim? V'moise skupa gvoya yud rochav adalit. If the threshold was 10 tefachim high and wide 4x4 tefachim, harezu rishus la'atzmo. It has its own status, it's considered to be its own domain. Rashi explains, even though we're speaking about a elevated area, 10 tefachim high, 4x4 tefachim wide, which is next to a rishus ha'yachid as well. So we have this elevated area which is adjacent to a home. We have two rishus ha'yachids adjacent to each other. Nevertheless, Achirim teaches us, Rameya teaches us, one may not transfer an item from one rishus ha'yachid to the other rishus ha'yachid. Why is that so? Explains it more. Masayei le'la Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi. This supports Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, who told us as follows in the name of Rameya. The Omar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Omar hayu Rameya. Rameya used to say as follows. Kol makam shata moitzei, beiz rishuyos. Whenever we find two areas which they look like two domains, vein rishus achas, but really technically, they're considered to be one rishus. For instance, a case where you have a chatzar, a courtyard, completely surrounded, completely a rishus hayachid. Situated in the middle of this chatzar is a hill, is a elevated area, which is 10 tefachim high, and has a floor space of 4x4. Nevertheless, we cannot transfer from the chatzar to this post, to this amud. Again, kol makam shata moitzei, beiz rishuyos, whenever we find two rishuyos, vein rishus achas, but really they're one rishus. Kigoyin, for instance, amud rishus hayachid, a post in middle of rishus hayachid, gavoy yayud, v'rochav dalud, osur lekatef olav. One may not transfer an item on it from the chatzar. Why? Gzeira mishum tel rishus harabim. Although this case is perfectly permitted, however, Rameya said, we're concerned. Rameya made a gzeira, a decree, to safeguard from doing the same in rishus harabim. Perhaps if one will be allowed to transfer an item, to be mekatif, to adjust his item, his load, to transfer something from the chatzar onto the tail which is in the chatzar, the elevated portion in the chatzar, one may mistakenly do so even in rishus harabim. When he's walking in rishus harabim, he'll see a post which is gavoya yud and rochav dalet. He'll also mistakenly use it as a adjusting stop, as a makam kituf, transfer an item onto that post, and certainly that case is prohibited because he's transferring from rishus harabim to rishus hayachid. So on account of that concern, the mayor prohibited even transferring an item onto a post which is situated in a rishus hayachid. The Taisus points out, this is only applies to an elevated area which has no mechitzos, because certainly a mayor does not prohibit one from carrying an item from the first floor of a home up to the second floor of the home, even though it's elevated 10 tefachim, because it has mechitzos. It's considered to be a separate entity, and there's no room for concern to confuse it with a tail in rishus harabim. Taisus also points out that this is only regarding a set place, like a post, an amud, but a utensil, a kli, something which is mobile. The gzeir of Rameir does not apply. In that case, one certainly can put an item onto an elevated area, which is in rishus hayachid, if that is a utensil, a kli, for instance, a grinder, or etc., one of those type of things which are metaltal, because it's not similar, it's not to be confused with a tail, with a post in rishus harabim. Continues the Mishnah. Lo yeshiv adam lefnei asaper samlech mincha. One should not go sit down in front of the barber for a haircut when it's very close to the time of davening mincha. Now, how does this halacha come into Maseches Shabbos? Rashi explains, since in the next Mishnah we have halachas regarding prohibiting certain activities close to Shabbos for concern that this activity will extend into Shabbos and bring one to transgress into Shabbos. So on account of those halachas, the Mishnah begins giving us another couple of halachas which fall into a similar category. One may not begin an activity so close to Zman Tfilas Mincha for concern that perhaps these activities will extend and draw out and preclude and bring a person to miss out the Mincha experience. One should not sit down in front of the barber close to Mincha, meaning within a half hour of Zman Tfilas Mincha, because perhaps this will cause him to miss the opportunity to daven. Achi Yispal, He shouldn't do so until he davens mincha. Similarly, says the Mishnah Leikonis, Adon Lamerchas, he shouldn't go to a bathhouse, Velebursaki, not to a tanner, a tannery, Veloilechel, and not to have a meal, Veloiladin, and not to conduct a court case. Because these things, going into a barber for a haircut, going to a bathhouse to take a bath, going to the tannery to go ahead and process the hides, to go loylechel to begin a meal or to begin a court case. These things are activities that can draw and can get drawn out and extend themselves up to the point that one may actually lose out on the opportunity to daven mincha. However, once you've begun any of these activities, there's no requirement to interrupt and to stop. He can conclude this activity and then go and daven mincha. Rashi points out, of course, we're speaking about that there's enough time available after the conclusion of this activity to daven mincha. But if he knows that this activity will get drawn out to the point that will not leave him enough time available to daven, then certainly he must be mafsik immediately, interrupt his activity and daven mincha, and then resume his activity. Concludes the Mishnah, mafsik and the krishma. One must interrupt, one must be mafsik to recite krishma, since it is a mitzvah min ha-Torah. So if one has begun any of these aforementioned activities, when it already has become, the Zman Krishma has already arrived, or it was very close within the half hour of the beginning of Zman Krishma, in that case the Mishnah tells us, Krishma is more stringent, it is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and requires hefsek, immediate interruption. Ve'im hafsikin l'tefillah, however, regarding davening, there's no such requirement. Rashi points out, this seems to be a repetition from the Reish, the Gemara will discuss it. Explains the Gemara, Hai samuch l'mincha. Which mincha are we speaking about? The Mishnah tells us that within close proximity to mincha, one may not begin these various activities. Which mincha are we speaking about? Hai samuch l'mincha. Ilema l'mincha g'doyla, we're speaking about the greater mincha. Now we know that the Tfilas HaMincha corresponds to the Tamed Shebin Arbaim, and the Tfilas HaMincha is meant to be recited during the Zman of the Akrava of the Tamed Shebin Arbaim. What was the Zman Akrava of the Karban Tamed Shebin Arbaim is HaMikdash? Very simple, Ben Arbaim, in between the two darknesses. What are the two darknesses? The first darkness begins a half hour after midday. That's when the sun begins to lean towards the west and starts generating very slight shadows. So that is considered to be the first darkness. What is the second darkness? Very simple. That is nightfall. So in between 6.5 hours of the day up until nightfall, that was the Zman HaKrovas Tomei Shebin Arbaim. And thus, that is also the Zman of Tfilas Mincha. And when we speak about hours, certainly we're speaking about Shoris Zmanias. We take the entire daylight period and we split it into 12 even sections. Each one is considered to be 1 hour, one Shah. Says Zigmar, Mincha Gedoyla, the large, the greater Mincha, is referring to the beginning of the Zman HaKrovas HaTamid, which was at the point of 6.5 hours into the day. Technically speaking, one may be makir of the Tamid Shel Arbaim beginning at that point. However, practically speaking, the common practice in the Beis HaMikdash was not to be makir of the Karban Tamid so early, but rather it was much later than that. It was actually hukrav, it was shechted 8.5 hours into the day and brought, offered at the point of 9.5 hours into the day. And that is considered to be mincha ketana, the small mincha, since it leaves only a small portion of the day remaining that allows that for the allowance of tefillas mincha. So the mincha gedoyla is from the point of 6.5 hours onward. That is the great mincha, since there's a large portion of the day still available for tefillas mincha. And the mincha ketana is referring to once you get to the point of 9.5 hours into the day, and it only leaves us with a small portion of the day remaining for tefillas mincha. So which mincha is the Mishnah referring to? One may not begin these various activities, since they may draw you into a prolonged activity and cause one to miss out an opportunity to daven mincha. Which mincha are we speaking about? Samach l'mincha. Within a half hour of tefillas mincha, of the Zman tefillas mincha, one may not begin these activities. Which mincha are we speaking about? Are we speaking about mincha gedoyla? And a half hour before that, one may not begin these activities. Oh, we're speaking about Menchah Ketana, which begins at 9.5 hours into the day. And at the beginning of 9 hours, which is a half hour prior to Menchah Ketana, one may not begin these activities. Again, says the Gemara, "Hi, some Menchah. Ilam la Menchah Gedola. Am I lying? Why is it prohibited? There's such a large portion of the day remaining, and there's no valid concern that a person will miss his Menchah. Ha'ika shows b'yom tuva. There's a very great portion of the day remaining, and there's no reason to be concerned. Ella rather wants to be speaking on some Menchah Ketana. The Mishnah tells us that close to Menchah Ketana, meaning within a half hour, of 9.5 hours into the day, which is Menchah Ketana, one should not begin these major activities. Because in that case, certainly there's a concern that once he begins, he'll get drawn out and he'll become preoccupied and miss out on the opportunity to daven Menchah. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah tells us, one may not begin these activities, but im ischilu im afsikin, once you begin, you don't need to interrupt. Lema tevet yufta Rav Shimon Levi. This seems to contradict, to be a refutation of Rav Shimon Levi. Don't Rav Shimon Levi, kiven she'egia zman tefilas ha-mincha, once the time to daven mincha arrives, also la'adam she'yutam klom, kaidim she'yispal tefilas ha-mincha. One may not taste anything before he davens mincha. So certainly in a case where he's in the middle of his meal, he must interrupt, be mafsik, the meal, to daven mincha. So this seems not to be consistent with our Mishnah, which tells us that once he begins the meal, he doesn't need to interrupt. So that's a Gemara lai. No, la'ayla ma'asam lach mincha g'dayla. Our Mishnah is speaking about mincha g'dayla. Rabbi Shua ben Levi is unrelated to our Mishnah. He's speaking about mincha k'tana. One may not be toyem as soon as it's zman tefillas ha-mincha arrives. Which tefillas ha-mincha? Mincha k'tana. Our Mishnah is unrelated to that. It's speaking about mincha g'dayla. And therefore, it's not connected to Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So again, our Mishnah tells us that even samach mincha g'dayla, from the point of chatzos midday, which is a half hour before mincha g'dayla, one may not begin these major activities. However, once he begins them in mischilu, then he doesn't need to interrupt, as Rashi pointed out, provided he knows there'll be enough time to daven later on. If so, how are we going to understand our Mishnah? How could you prohibit one from beginning these activities at midpoint, at chatzos, which leaves him so much time available to daven mincha? There's no valid concern for him missing out on the opportunity to daven mincha. Says the Gemara, we're speaking about a half hour within the time of mincha g'dayla, which is midday. Why do you prohibit these activities? Says the Gemara, we're speaking about unique and prolonged major activities. When we're speaking about a haircut, we're not speaking about an ordinary haircut. We're speaking about this very unique haircut, which was taken by this individual called Ben El Asha. He was a son of a Rebbe. The Gemara tells us that he used to spend a great deal of money to demonstrate on himself the unique haircut which was given to a Kohen Gadol. The Gemara describes this haircut as being Roshu Shalzeh. The tip of one hair was a bit tzadik, Shalzeh was on the, reached the root of the next hair, some type of a unique haircut style. So he used to take this unique haircut, which was indeed a very serious affair, and it was a very prolonged activity. This unique haircut is prohibited. Certainly an ordinary haircut is allowed to be taken at that point in the day. So the Mishnah is referring to these specific major activities. V'loy l'merchatz is speaking about kula milchatz l'merchatz. We're speaking about the entire process of the merchatz, which requires washing their head, their hair, washing the body in hot water and cold water, taking the steam bath. It was an entire, it was a prolonged process, a very major affair. And therefore, one shouldn't do so, even early on in the day. V'loy l'bursiki, going to the tannery, was speaking about l'bursiki g'dayla, a major tannery affair, a major project. There's a lots of hides to process, and this is the beginning of the process. He's beginning to process them. In that case, certainly there's a concern, even so early in the day, that it will cause him to miss mincha. V'loy l'echel, when the Mishnah speaks about eating, we're speaking about suda g'dayla, a large meal, like a wedding, which has lots of guests, and tends to drag on and to get prolonged. V'loy l'din, we're speaking about betchilas din, the beginning of a case, which requires the arguments to be heard and the deliberations and etc. etc. It can prolong and drawn out and bring him to miss mincha. So the Mishnah is speaking about these unique activities, which are major and prolonging activities, which indeed can get drawn out, even if they're begun early in the day. Therefore, there's a prohibition to begin these activities. Samacha mincha, which mincha? Even samacha mincha gdoila. But ordinary activities, one certainly may begin those activities when they are samacha mincha gdoila, when they are still so early on in the day. Continues the Gemara, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, no. La'olam b'tasperes didan. The Mishnah prohibits one to begin activities, samacha mincha gdoila, even ordinary activities, even the tasperes didan, even an ordinary haircut. Why? L'chatchila amai lo yeshev. Why shouldn't one begin, sit down in front of the barber for an ordinary haircut? G'zeiro shami yishavar zug. Even if it's so early in the day, we're concerned perhaps the zug, the barber's scissors, will break. Shami yishavar zug. Until he goes and finds another one, he'll miss out on the opportunity to daven mincha. Regarding merchatz as well, v'loy l'merchatz l'hazia ba'alma, even just simply to take the steam bath, which is a relatively minor activity. L'chatchila amar lo, why shouldn't one begin this? G'zeiro shami yis'alef, perhaps he'll faint, and he won't be able to daven any longer. V'loy l'bursiki, which is being l'yuni bi'alma, even just merely to inspect the process. L'chatchila amar lo, why shouldn't he do it? Dilma chazi pseida bezvine, perhaps he'll see a flaw in his merchandise or matri, he'll become preoccupied. V'lo, and he won't be able to daven. V'loy lechel, b'suda ktana, even a small meal, amal chatchila amai loy, why? The Muslim shuche, perhaps will become drawn out. V'loy ledin, regarding a din, even b'gemara din, even if it's only for the verdict, which is a minor affair. L'chatchila amai loy, dilma chazi taima v'sasadina, perhaps he'll find a new approach, a new angle to the court case, and he'll go annul the verdict and overturn the din and begin anew. So according to Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, even relatively minor activities carry with them a risk of becoming drawn out and prolonged. And one may not begin them even samacha mincha gdoila, even so early on in the day, because perhaps he'll become preoccupied and busy and he'll miss out on an opportunity to daven. So in summary, the Mishnah taught us that one may not begin 5 activities, samacha mincha gdoila. And we have 2 approaches in the Gemara. The first approach in the Gemara is that we're speaking about major activities. A haircut is speaking about this unique tasperis of Ben Alasha. A merchatz is speaking about kula mils of the merchatz, the entire process of the merchatz. Bursaki is a bursaki gedoyla, lots of hide, the beginning of the process. Lachila was speaking about a suda gedoyla. Din is tchilas din. And therefore, one may not begin these activities, even if it's still early on in the day, it is samach mincha gedoyla. According to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, even minor activities, relatively short activities, have the potential of becoming drawn out. Regarding a haircut, this is a chashash, shami yishavar zug. Regarding the merchatz, shami yis aleph. Regarding the bursaki, he might see something wrong, become preoccupied. Regarding food, the meal might get drawn out. Regarding a din, even if it's the verdict, the din might become overturned and might become drawn out and bring him to miss his tefillah as hamincha. Continues the Gemara. So the Mishnah taught us that one doesn't begin, but once he begins, v'mischilu ein mafsikim. Once you begin, you don't need to interrupt. Now what constitutes beginning? Mei masai has cholas haspiris. What is the beginning of the haircut? Amar avin mishianiach mafiris shosapar nabirkav. Once they place the cloth of the barbers on his knees. Mei masai has cholas merchatz. Amar avin mishiyahare mafirteimenu. Once he removes the mafiris, the cloth, the first article of clothing from himself, that is considered to be the beginning of the merchatz. Once he begins, he doesn't need to interrupt for davening. Or he must say, "Cholas bursaki." What is considered to be the beginning of the bursaki process? Mishiyikshar ben ksefav. Once he ties his sleeves between his shoulders, which somehow enabled him to go ahead and process the hides. Or he must say, "Cholas achila." Rav Amar mishiyitol yadav. Once he washes his hands. Rav Chinin Amar mishiyat dechagura. Once he unfastens his belt. V'lei pligi. It's actually not a machlekes. Depends who we're speaking to. Because the Bnei Bavel used to have their belts tightened very tight and they would have to unfasten it at the beginning of a meal. So Rav Chanina is speaking about to the Bnei Bavel, which required this before their meal. Halon valuhu. So the Bnei Bavel, which is lon, our people, they needed to do a Hatoras Chagura, and that is what Rav Chanina is referring to. Valahu, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael didn't conduct themselves in this manner. And that, in that case, what is considered to be Tchilas Suda, says Rav, Mishayitol Yodov. So we have the halacha of Yischilu Ein Mafsikin. Once you've begun, you don't need to interrupt. What is the Tchilas Taspiris? Once they put the Mafiris Al Birkov. What is the Tchilas Amerchatz? Once you remove the Mafiris. What is the Tchilas Borsiki? When you tie the sleeves between Kseifa, between his shoulders. What is considered to be Tchilas Achila? To the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, once they wash their hands. To the Bnei Bavel, even prior to washing their hands, once they unfasten their belt. So this is regarding Tfilas HaMincha. What's the halacha regarding Tfilas Arvis? Continues the Gemara. Amar Abaye. Hani Chavrin Bavloi, our Babylonian colleagues, who fasten their belts tightly. So what is the halacha regarding Ma'ariv? Lamanda Amar Tfilas Arvis Rishus. So you know there's a machlekes. What is the status of Arvis? Some say it's a Rishus. It's optional. Some say it's chayv. It's compulsory. So according to the Shita, Tfilas Arvis Rishus, Kivan the Shor Lehem Yoni, once they unfasten their belt for the meal, we don't trouble them to refasten it. They may proceed with their meal and then go and daven Ma'ariv. According to the Shita, that it's compulsory. We do oblige them to trouble themselves to refasten their belt and daven Ma'ariv. Says the Gemara, why is that? Why, according to the Shita, that Arvis is chayva, do you require him to refasten the belt? V'atfilas mincha regarding mincha delekuli al mechayvehi. All agree that mincha is chayva. Nevertheless, we say, utanan, we learned in the Mishnah, is chilei mafsikim. Once you've begun the process of the meal, you don't need to interrupt. What is the beginning? What constitutes a tchila? V'amar chanina mishyat ha-chaguri. For the Bnei Bavel, it was as soon as they unfastened their belt. Once they did that, it's considered to be tchila suda. They may proceed with their meal. So why regarding Arvis do you say that even though you unfasten your belt, you need to refasten the belt according to the Shita that Arvis is chayva? Why is it more stringent than mincha, which is chayva? Says the Gemara is different on two accounts. Number one, Hosam l'shchicha shichrus. Over there by mincha, which is a daytime meal, shichrus is not shchich, it's not common to get intoxicated. Therefore, there's no concern if he proceeds with his meal that he will lose out on tefillas mincha. Hachal by tefillas arvis, shchicha shichrus. By a nighttime meal, it is shchich, it is common to become intoxicated. Therefore, if we allow him to proceed with his meal, perhaps he will become shikr, and he will lose out on an opportunity to have ma'ariv. Inami, another difference. Since mincha has a set time, a prescribed time, it can only be done until nighttime, until the end of the day. Mirsus, so he's agitated, he's concerned. It's on the forefront of his conscience to keep in mind to daven mincha prior to the time expiring. Therefore, he won't neglect, even if he proceeds with his meal, he will leave himself enough time after the meal to daven. However, arvis, given the kula lelias man arvis, since he can daven ma'ariv the whole night, it's not so limited like mincha. Lo Yemir says he won't be so concerned about it, he won't be agitated about ma'ariv, and he'll keep on pushing it off and postponing it. And if he proceeds with his meal, he might neglect to daven ma'ariv entirely. So we have two reasons why arvis is more stringent than mincha, and therefore, according to the Shita, that feels arvis is chayva, even if he already unfastened his belt, he must refasten it and proceed to daven ma'ariv, and then go back to his meal. Maskevel Arashashis. I don't understand, he says. According to the Shita, that feels Iris Rishus, you allow him to proceed with his meal once he unfastens his belt. We don't trouble him to refasten it. Is it really such a trouble? Trichusa Lemeser Amyani, what's the big deal? To refasten your belt? Is it such a tircha Lemeser to refasten, to retighten Amyani your belt? Void another kasha. Like Yoachav Litzli, let him go get up as is, with his unfastened belt, and daven as is. Says the Gemara, that's not a kasha. He can't do that. Mishum shenemar, hichoin. You must prepare yourself properly to cross El Kech Yisrael when you approach Hashem to daven. Therefore, the second kasha of Sheshes is not difficult. Tosis points out that the Gemara doesn't really relate to the first kasha. Apparently, the Gemara held, yes, it is a trouble to go ahead and refasten this tight belt. And therefore, according to the Shita, that Iris is Rishus, we don't require him to do so. Now, Tosis points out that, of course, even according to the Shita, that feels Iris is Rishus, we're not meant to neglect Tfilas Arvis for no reason. Yaakov Avinu was Mesaken Arvis. Arvis corresponds to the Evorim, which were brought on the Mizbech the entire night. It's a very important, significant tefillah. It's only in a case where there's a tircha, as in our case, of the refastening the belt, so he may postpone the Arvis until later, or in the case when there's a mitzvah, which is getting in the way, he should do the mitzvah and instead of davening Ma'ariv. But Bechina, for no reason, one certainly is not meant to neglect Ma'ariv. He certainly is meant to daven Ma'ariv if he has the opportunity to do so.